Some people just have no concept of what life is like outside of their own bubble. Some people have always had everything just handed to them and probably always will. What is life like for those charged with catering to those type of assholes?
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, office horror stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at officehorrorstories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
And it is an 833-HATE-JOB, the phone number to call and share your office horror stories with us. We would love to hear it. You can also write it on the website, officehorrorstories.com. Leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. Send me a screenshot of it, and you'll be in the drawing to be our Employee of the Month. Once a month, pick somebody, and you get a $100 gift card and the prestigious title, like I always say, of Employee of the Month. And I'll put your name on a plaque down a hall that no one goes down. Maybe the parking spot in your at your house, the close one right there. You never know. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again.
Oh, I want the parking spot at my house.
It's a good one.
It makes me want to put up my own sign.
That would be kind of fun.
I had a coworker tell me something that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
That happened at work. Keep this in mind. None of my coworkers know I do this. So it's a secret. But so one of my coworkers got a haircut, and it's really cute. And she had it styled one day that was really cute. And in fact, I'm like, I love it when you wear hair, your hair like that. It's super cute. Mm-hmm. End of conversation. Someone else later in the day went over to her and said, "So your hair looks really cute." She goes, "Thank you." And she says, "So are you going to get some?"
What?
Meaning what? And she goes, "Well, I mean, your hair, like, are you planning on getting some or something?"
Oh my God.
No. I just did my hair cute. I mean, I just styled it like this. It means nothing. I came to work. Yeah. Isn't that bizarre?
Male or female that said the get some?
It was female to female.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, like, the other way around, that person be released immediately.
either way,
it shouldn't be said like that. But,
and it makes you, like, when you're feeling good about your hair and you're like, you know, those days you don't because you don't have much hair. Yeah. Joke. But, you know, those days when you're feeling really good about your hair, you feel like you look good. And then somebody comes up and says something like that.
You're going to get some.
Like, no.
It's almost like passive aggressive
like
way.
Hair today.
It's almost like saying, "Are you whoring it out?" You know, it's like, what the fuck?
Well, obviously, you don't look that cute on a regular day.
Now someone will finally fuck you.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's like that's not.
Hell. So there you go. Those people will remain nameless.
Yeah.
The people who have no idea you do this.
You got to love just inappropriate commentary from people where it's like,
HR.
Do you realize that that's not appropriate to say to people, you know, at all anymore? You know, I don't know. I'm not Mr. Uber politically correct by any means, but it's just like, there's just some things and it's not hard to understand what is normal and what's not, you know, what's acceptable and what's not acceptable anymore. It's not.
And how about just saying, "Your hair looks really great today. I love the way you styled it."
Yeah.
Period.
It's the filter thing. Some people don't have any filters. It's whatever random shit pops in their head comes out of their mouth.
Yeah.
And there's no, "Well, how should I word this?" Even if you're thinking that, maybe that's not what should be said to
that's
said
the
individual.
Part that stays inside. That's your inside voice.
Yeah. Gotta love it. 833-HATE-JOB is our number here at Office Horror Stories to share your office horror story or write in at officehorrorstories.com. Let's go over to our first letter of the day. It says, "Working in property management is hellish, but it pays better than a lot of other jobs in my town, and I sincerely admire my coworkers. Our clients, on the other hand, will inspire me to build a guillotine one day. I live in a county within the top 10 highest per capita personal income ranking, and the only people who can afford to own a home here are multi-millionaires, and they are being pushed out by the billionaires. The rent is obscene, too, and my wife and I commute 85 miles a day to work in the county's cash center. Property management is a big business here, as these absentee homeowners need professionals to take care of their investment homes and want to bring in passive income with rentals since they only use them 3 weeks out of the year. The entitlement these people have is vicious. They demand to have their cake and to eat it on the daily. And the people who rent their homes not far away from them and commuting equivalent of sin, all these people are evil and they have turned this town into a multi-millionaire's ghetto. Here's some more context. The typical value of a home we manage is probably around $2 million, and the typical weekly rate for renting one of these homes is probably around $20,000. If a homeowner wants us to make them money, we'll make them a lot of fucking money, ranging from tens of thousands a year for a smaller home and hundreds of thousands a year for the mansions. For a long time, my company's owner was bringing on tons of his friends as our clients. All these factors make this job exceptionally stressful. Our homeowner clients invest ungodly sums of money into their homes, and our renters invest obscene cash on their rentals. And we are also indirectly managing our company owner's relationship. So they want to blame everything on us, and every small mistake is a monumental fuck up in their eyes. Everything explained? Here's a section of horror stories I've experienced working in this job for the past 2 years. Take what you want, leave the rest. If I hear any of these on the show, I will send in more. One of our homeowners has a church party at his $3 million mansion every year, and it is the definition of Christian charity. Last year, he and his wife decided they needed balloons to mark their driveway, and I was tasked to deliver the balloons. My car's AC had given out at the start of the summer, so it was an oven in my car. During my first delivery, the balloons had melted in my car. When I asked the homeowner if they needed balloons, since all the picnic stuff outside clearly marked the location of the event, they said I would deliver inflated balloons to their home. They didn't melt on the second trip, but they looked shitty. In all, I drove 40 miles and spent nearly 3 hours to get these stupid balloons. They received a $200 bill to receive a $15 bundle of balloons. Thank you to the nice Albertsons florist who replaced the melted balloons for free. This year, the owner put their party in the middle of the busy rental season, even after being advised they could lose money from scheduling it at that time. I could call into our CFO's office, where I was told that the homeowner wanted to be able to write off the church picnic as a charitable donation. I was told to create an invoice and accounting for the potential lost rental revenue, an amount numbering in the thousands. Like I said, the definition of Christian charity. As a reminder, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. One of our primary clients is a titan of industry worth hundreds of millions and close personal friends with our owner. His wife is literally a Gorgon from Greek mythology. We manage both of their homes and we take care of both renting one of them. We call their main home and the infinite hell mansion to flesh out the nature of the character further, as we call it. The wife is certainly the worst to deal with. Having never done anything of value in her own life, she's devoted all of her time to berating and humiliating us poors. We photo documented their homes down to the polish of the salad forks. Least she sends us manifestos about how we failed their expectations when an original Rockwell painting is 0.0007 degrees off center. I once had to shuttle her and the company's owner's wife through a raging blizzard, all while I waited for them to eat at a restaurant. She loudly expressed her desire that the waiter be hanged for bringing her lukewarm soup. There was one waiter holding down about 8 four-tops by themselves due to the coworkers being snowed out of work. The worst event regarding these clients is when their rental property flooded. The renters at this property, paying $6,000 per month for a second-story three-bedroom townhouse, somehow left the patio door open in the middle of winter. A water main in the home froze and flooded the entire kitchen and living room, which flooded into the unit beneath it. Of course, the renters had a month-long vacation plan, so we were on the hook to deal with their insurance for the massive damages they caused. We got the unit rebuilt after having to cancel a few family vacations at the property, but it took the totaled unit beneath us until the end of summer to rebuild. I spent my entire summer being yelled at by renters because of the incessant construction occurring beneath the unit. All summer long. Eventually, I couldn't take having my rental clients being so miserable. It was really fucking loud and I could hear it through the phone. And I wrote a polite email to the wife asking if we could issue a future rental credit to the one group of politely disappointed clients who didn't scream at me over the phone. An hour later, I get a call from the titan of industry himself. He spent the next 20 minutes screaming at me over the phone about how inept we are, that he can't believe I'm working in this industry. It's so and so disrespectful, how dealing with us is the worst experience of his life, and so on. This is a man with over $70 million in stock options from his company, running the largest company in his industry, and he has the time to yell at me about a $2,000 rental credit. I sat there silent, not wanting to risk my job, talking back to the company's owner's best friend. Once he hung up, I slammed the phone as hard as I could, punched my desk, and was about to walk out of the job for good. Thankfully, my office manager intervened and took me to the bar across the street for an afternoon drink. I can confirm that every stereotype about private equity investors and venture capitalists are true. They are vultures. They are always painful to deal with, and fuck any best practices your company might have. You do things how they want them done on their time frame. This was exemplified by one tech startup investor who wanted to rent the premier luxury home in our portfolio for his vacation after no less than three reminders that he needed to sign the rental contract before it expired. It went inactive, and the homeowners rescinded any future approval for the rental because, surprise, surprise, they didn't want to rent to a fucking flake. I get a phone call not long after from this flaky investor wondering why the DocuSign is no longer working, even though we had just sent him an email explaining this. Cue to the most extended browbeating I've ever received. Nonstop abuse for close to an hour, as none of our managers were available to talk to him. It was such a humiliating experience being spoken to that way that I don't even remember half of what he said based on how cruel it was, going as far as blaming me for damaging his marriage as their family vacation was irrefutably ruined. Thank goodness for that bar across my office, because you bet I wouldn't drink after that episode was over. I was transferred to a different department shortly after that episode because I flat out told management that I would not do any more customer-facing work after that. Not wanting to lose my talent, they obliged my request. Rich entitlement fucks out there, be warned. If you can drop $30,000 in a vacation rental, the owner of that home you want to rent has a net worth astronomically higher than you and the money you would spend as spare change to them. They've probably let their children pour more expensive bottles of champagne down a utility sink for fun than what you spend on your cute little vacation rental. An epilogue to that incident is that nobody else in town could or would rent to the tech investor. He was so caustic. The homeowners allowed a private equity investor to rent their home for the same date shortly after. He was also a complete fucking prick, but he signed his contract on time. Good riddance. There you go. That was an interesting one.
Wow, I never even thought about a job like that.
Into that world we go.
I mean, somebody has to do that, but it never crossed my mind before.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, I don't know that I could.
You have to have a lot of patience, a lot of patience, and be able to take the beating and not take it personally. And for things that you didn't even do, or, you know, it's one thing if you're new.
And I think you'd have to be paid decently.
Yeah.
If people are going to yell at me daily, yeah, you got to make some money.
You would think, you know, it's funny, but, you know, I always talk about how it feels like call center jobs and everything, they go nowhere anymore, but you got to look at it. They're taking abuse all day for shit that they had nothing to do for the causing the problem, but they are there to try and help, but they get berated for stuff that they have no control over. They have only so many options that are at their disposal. But they, you know, they take it, and then, you know, then I sit here and wonder why customer service is horrible. But they only have so many tools that they can do to fix a problem. It's amazing how few options companies give their front facing customer service teams anymore. I feel like it's slim to nil. It's like either you're satisfied with the bullshit answer they give you on the phone, or good luck. You know,
in a job like that person's job. Like, those are people you have to keep happy.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of money for her company.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have to take it.
Yeah.
But people, the fact that people treat anybody like that just pisses me off.
Yeah. It would be draining, extremely draining.
I couldn't.
833-HATE-JOB is our number. I thought this was an interesting one. Hilarious job descriptions that have been put out in the public when companies are looking to hire. And it's shocking. These are real things. And what I'm going to read here are things. These are either pictures of the ad itself. These are not made up. And most, I believe, are probably not typos either. Either somebody had a really good sense of humor, or the person who was told, hey, put a job out there for your replacement, put the job out there for the replacement with a giant fuck you in it. Here's one of my favorites. Come to work for Subway and have your dreams crushed like the rest of us. Weekends required. And then the phone number. It almost makes you want to apply for a job where they have humor, you know? They're not playing it up using corporate speak or anything like sandwich artist. It'll be a fun and exciting career move. You know, it's like, no, life is pretty shitty if this is what you're doing right now.
And have your dreams crushed.
Here's an old one. This is from a very, very old newspaper. Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. So I guess if shit's just kind of gone downhill and you're like, well, at least I'll get a legacy. Maybe that was the thing to do. Help wanted, start a career in the fascinating, fast-paced, lucrative pudding business. Long, hard hours, very low pay, lots of heavy lifting, work for a ball-busting asshole, dead-end job, no benefits, no advancement, must be college grad. Start immediately. This is literally, it's like a stand-up ad, almost like what you'd have at a job fair, standing in front of your booth. Surgeon wanted for a new healthcare clinic opening in the area. No experience needed. Must have own tools. For a surgeon. It's like, okay. Waitress needed must be 18 years old with 20 years experience. Apply in person at the restaurant. Must be 18 with 20 years of experience. Yeah. I love these.
Like, when you have no more words on it than that, you think someone would catch that.
You would think. You just gotta, I wonder like how these are put out, if it is just a big screw you to whoever. Management positions available, contact Tony, vacation uniforms, meals, and possible salary. Possible salary. Possible salary. It's for a McDonald's. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, there you go. The Foxhole, exotic dancers, now hiring one pretty and two ugly dancers.
Why would you post that?
So that makes the one look better? I don't know. I don't know what or how that works. Wanted semi-reliable, charismatic weed dealer who isn't charging $60 for an eighth of shitty, seedy Lincoln KB. This is not a joke. This madness has to stop.
Well, everybody's looking for a good weed dealer. I mean, really.
But putting the ad out, that's, suppose you can do that now. So there you go. Those are some of the interesting job opportunities that are out there, kids. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number to share your office horror story with us. Go to another letter. It says, I used to work in a mid-range suit store chain as the formal wear manager, and as such, oversaw everything, weddings in our store. As you can guess, there were plenty of rude and frazzled couples. This one couple took the cake, however. The man, husband, woman, wife, GM, groomsman, me, just for the clarity, this is how it's going to play out in role form. The husband and wife come into our store. I greet them. They told me that they had been in another one of our stores and had an awful experience, and they had to redo all their planning. The store they were talking about was honestly awful, and even we knew it. So I apologized for them and said that we would do our best to make it up to them and make things right. They ended up picking out a lovely gray custom shirt that had some rental pants, shoes, and ties. I warned them that they would need to make sure that all their groomsmen got fitted ASAP because the custom shirts took extra time to be shipped to our store. They thanked me and we were all laughing and chatting, and I thought it all went well. Cut to about 2 months before the wedding, when I was checking to make sure all the groomsmen got fitted, and I noticed one of the groomsmen hadn't been fitted. And I immediately called the groom because we needed a month minimum for shipping. So on the phone, I said, "Hey, it's me. I'm calling from the suit store. I just wanted to let you know that one of your groomsmen has not been fitted yet. Is there any chance you could send him in to the nearest store to get fitted?" "Yeah, sure. I'll let him know. Thanks." A week later, I noticed that this guy still hadn't been fitted. This time I got a call to the groom. I asked for the contact information for the groomsman so I could get in touch with him directly. Then I called and emailed him. He called back and agreed to get fitted as soon as he could, and even asked if there was an option if he couldn't make it to a store, as the closest one to him was about an hour's drive away. I explained everything to him, and he said he'd get fitted that week. As the wedding drew closer, I was calling every couple of days, reminding the groom that he needed to get fitted or there was nothing we could do. Finally, I called him to break the news. The deadline was up, and we couldn't get the shirt on time anymore. The man was furious with the groomsmen. He said he would have a word with this guy and asked if there were any other options. I said we still needed measurements to find a shirt that would look similar in store, and he said he'd get them. About 2 weeks before the wedding, he gave me the measurements, and I found a couple shirts in our store that might work. 2 days before the wedding, the man and woman came in to pick up all their rental items and their custom shirts. I retrieved the items and pulled out the options for the groomsmen. I said, "Okay, so we have a couple of options of shirts for the groomsmen. I think this is the closest one that we have here." The woman, "What do you mean options? Where the hell is this custom shirt?" I'm utterly confused, as I assumed she knew about the problem. I said, "Well, he didn't get fitted in time," and I called, "Okay, what the fuck? I've had it with this company. First, the other store messed up the order and we have to start over, and then you dropped the ball. How are you going to fix this? We're getting married in 2 fucking days and you don't have this shirt. Meanwhile, the man is just letting me take his fiance's anger and looking sheepish. I'm stammering and trying to calm her down. Unfortunately, I'm not the quickest with words when people are yelling at me. My boss, seeing the commotion, came over to help, and he said, "What's going on over here?" Woman said, "She didn't order the custom shirt we're paying a lot of money for and messed up our wedding group. I wanted a discount on everything for the wedding. We set this up months ago." Boss points at the guy. "She's called him multiple times over the past couple of months to get this sorted out. The groomsmen did not get fitted in time. We're sorry, and I know it sucks, but here's your options." The woman whips around to him. He starts stammering, and she turns back to us. The woman, unbelievable. She stomps over to the fitting rooms with him, and while he's trying on his shirt, she is on the phone with someone spouting about our poor service and blaming me for all of the problems. They ended up picking out the shirt I suggested for the groomsmen and then leaving the store, muttering all the way. I was told that they came in the next day to pick out the ties and were just as rude. It was sad because they were super nice during the consultation, but it turned so south so quickly. I have so many other stories because of weddings, snobs, and semi-expensive men's clothing. Another one. You just, the abuse, how do you deal with it, you know?
And what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
Like, if the guy doesn't come to get fitted for the shirt, you can't get the shirt. Like, that makes no sense. At first I thought, well, maybe this guy's trying to get out of being a groomsman.
Sure.
Because I get that.
Yeah.
Because I got asked to be in a couple weddings and then I just regretted it.
Have you done that?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I went through it. But like the last wedding I was in, I'm like, that's it. I'm done.
Yeah.
Because literally I had to pay for my bridesmaid's dress, which is not uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
But we weren't that great of friends. But we worked together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh my God, yeah. Like, she likes me that much. Then I found out there was 8 other women. So then I didn't feel all that special. And then the dress we had to buy, actually, the best way I could describe it is it looked like a Snow White dress,
mm-hmm.
like Snow White wore in the original Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs cartoon.
Okay.
That's what it looked like. And I'm like, you're kidding me. Like, I have to pay for this dress to be specially made.
Mm-hmm.
It was oh gosh, I don't remember what it cost, like $150 just for the dress that I'll never wear again.
Yeah.
And then you got to buy the shoes and then you got to get him a gift.
Yeah.
So when she's telling that story, I'm like, that poor guy's just probably trying to get out of being in the wedding.
Yeah, and then all in all, you're how many dollars invested into this? And it's like, okay, that here's your, here's your fucking gift. Great. Have a nice life. See you later.
That's how I feel now. It's one thing to be invited to a wedding, yeah, but when you're invited to be in the wedding, that's expensive.
It is.
It's expensive.
It is.
And then if you're one of 9 or 10 people who feels very special.
Mm-hmm. No.
It's like the wedding party's as big as like everyone who's at the church.
Yeah. I've never liked being in weddings. It's, and I feel horrible because here's Tony's been an asshole story. I have a friend of mine who was in actually both of my weddings and flew to wherever it was. And he was there and he's a very, you know, dedicated, good friend. And then when he got married for the first time, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was there's a different dynamic when it's just you and you don't have kids yet and you're not married and, you know, it's easier to get around to those sort of things. And back at the time, that was his dynamic. He got married after I did. And then when he's like, hey, can you be in the wedding? But it was flying across the country and it was having to get there a couple days earlier for, you know, for the parties and all that stuff. And I run my own business. So it's like it's people who say, well, you're in your own business, you can kind of get away from things whenever you want. Yes and no. It's almost more dedication than even working for someone. Because when you work for someone, you can almost, most cases, say, I'm off these weeks. I'm not working them. There's no truly being off when it's your business. So it was just, you know, difficult because you're talking days in airports and it was always like two connecting flights and I hate flying. And so it got closer and closer and I had to turn him down and I had to say, I'm really sorry. I can't. And I'm an asshole for it. It was not looking back. I wish I would have somehow made it work, but I didn't.
But I totally get it.
It was a big, big pain. And I didn't want to deal with the pain of it because then I also have, you know, I was married. I had a little one at the time, just one at the time. And it was just, it was a lot. It was a lot of going. And I think it was in the time when I was doing the TV show on Travel Channel 2. So I was already traveling like every 2 or 3 weeks. I was having to go away for half a week at a time. And this was going to kind of fall in between one of those. And it was just like, this is just too much. And he was cool about it. But the thing is, that marriage didn't work for him. And then he got remarried again. And I did it again. But it was again the same sort of dynamic where it's like, hey, can you come be in the wedding? And it's way far away. And I had just had my second kid. And it was, again, it was like, I'd love to if I was single and I didn't have all these obligations.
Okay, this is your second wedding.
I know.
Like, just go get married. But have a party.
He had come to both of mine. He did it for me, for both. And, you know, without...
I think I know who you're talking about.
My buddy Jamie. And he's, you know, and we haven't lost contact, but we're not as close as we used to be. We're just texting the other day saying we have to talk more because we've lost touch a lot over the years. And he has kids now too.
Because he thought you didn't like him after the way you treated him in his marriages.
Yeah, well, probably. Yeah, probably. He has every right to feel that way.
He gets married again. You got to go.
I feel like a douche for being like that. I do. You know, I have, it's a very Larry David type. You got fun. Enjoy your wedding. You'll be good. You know, and that's just, it was not the nice. It's not how I should have handled it, and I feel bad about it. But I hope there's not a third marriage. He seems very happy. They just had another little girl, and
I agree. I don't want there to be another marriage.
Yeah, he's like
there's kids involved.
Like, here's how to touch me. We're texting. He's like, you know, I had another kid. I'm like, no, I had no idea. Because he's not on social media anymore. He's like, I'm getting that a lot from people because nobody sees anything. I didn't know. So anyway,
like, how would I know if you wouldn't tell me?
Yeah, I know. It's one of those things you lose touch over the years. You regret it, but I think it's you know, some of those things can be rectified over time when things kind of slow down and we all kind of get our groundings and where we're at in life and go, okay, look, let's get reconnect here. This was stupid that you got so far distant, but yeah, that was me being a total asshole. He could write into a, you know, asshole wedding show about that. Like, I did all this for him and this prick didn't come through for me. And yeah. So anyway, 833-HATE-JOB, 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number here at Office Horror Stories to share your office horror story with us. Be sure to give us a review wherever you download podcasts, preferably Apple Podcasts. Leave that review. Send me a screenshot of it. Send it to Tony@OfficeHorrorStories.com. And you'll be in the drawing for that $100 gift card that we give out every single month and give you the title, the prestigious title of Employee of the Month. So check it out. Let your friends know we exist too. That always helps us grow the program. Until next time, for Carol and Tony, thanks for listening to Office Horror Stories.